Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Halt Daddy Hazy IPA, award-winning beer by Greater Good Brewing, built by Penn Staters for PA. Look for the green can at your local retailer.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante. He is Andy Shea. Andy, how are we doing this week, my friend?
Jimmy, battling a little, as Forrest Gump used to say, and he still said, great movie. Everyone go out there and watch it if you never have. Great movie. Battling a little cough due to cold.
Well, hopefully you'll get over that. It's winter. Those things happen, Andy. All right. We got a good show scheduled for today. Scheduled, I use that word, because we're going to talk scheduling for next year. We learned how important that is this past season. But before we get there, Andy, I want to make an announcement. You know, you're an original. You've been with me since the beginning. We've been doing this how long, Andy? About 10 years now?
I think this is this year 9 or 10?
I think it might be 10, but as we get older, the years just sort of blend in.
I think James Franklin, this has to be our 10th or 11th year. I don't know, because we've pretty much been around since James Franklin's been the Penn State head coach.
So you and I are like an old married couple now, Andy. We're used to each other. We're stuck with each other. And it's been a long, great relationship. But getting back on point with the show, we've expanded the show over the years. We've gotten ourselves up to 6 shows a week. And quite candidly, Andy, I've become an old man. It's celebrated my 65th birthday this week, and I contemplated retirement. But I ended up, you know what, you think of the options of just keep going or retirement. I decided to compromise, the shade of gray, split it down the middle. 6 shows a week has been a lot, and it's not the time on the air. That's the easy part, Andy. It's wonderful, but it's all the extra things, the prep work, the post-show work, and everything else that goes along with it. So I just want to make the announcement to our listeners. Don't be surprised when you see fewer shows per week. The plan is to go back to 3 shows per week instead of the 6. So we will still be there. Your favorite here, Andy Shea, will be here every week. But we are cutting back from 6 to 3. Who knows? Maybe I'll get bored of it, and maybe come fall when the season starts again, I want to do more. But right now, Andy, we're cutting back to 3 shows per week.
That's still more than we started with, Jimmy. We did 1 show per week. Year 2, we went to 2 shows. Year 3, you went to 3 shows. And then it just took off from there until you got to 6 shows. So happy semi-retirement. I kind of looked at you as always kind of semi-retired, because I'm like, this really working? But I know it is. I know the back end. I understand the back end. I'm honored to be above the yellow line and make the 3 show cut for the week going forward. So, and we can generally say now on our next show, we can officially say, I'm just revealing, hey, we're a couple guys in our 60s. What do we know?
That's right. As I'm hitting 65, you're hitting the big 6-0, Andy. You're a pup, a mere pup at only 60 years old. Come back to me when you're 65, because you know at that point I'll be complaining about turning 70, right?
Right, exactly. But, you know, I mean, we're good friends. We've been good friends we knew each other before the show, right? We met each other before the show. And when we started this together, we've become really close friends. And I think the listeners know, can kind of tell that, you know, we like each other and we respect each other. You're generally wrong and I'm generally right, but that's okay. We still respect each other.
That's why I said we're like an old married couple. We're each convinced we're right. And Andy, I talk about doing 6 shows a week. The funny thing is, you and I always have a call a video call the day before we record. And there are weeks, in fact, several weeks where that call lasts longer than the show does, because you and I, as you mentioned, we're friends. We debate pre-show before. It's almost like we establish where we stand on issues ahead of time. So we each get a preview, but that goes on sometimes for more than an hour, which is one of the fun times of the week. But anyway, Andy, we cut back. We'll be doing 3 hours. Mostly what I'm happy about is what that means for a summer schedule. It'll free me up a bit.
Oh,
maybe
yeah.
You and I could get back out on the golf course together.
We haven't golfed in 3 years, Jimmy. Shame on us. Shame on us, right?
Andy, no excuse for that. That is my New Year's resolution. You and I will get out on the golf course. All right, Andy, enough of that. Enough of our farewell tour here. Let's get back on topic. I sent you in a text message, so the picture was kind of small, the Big Ten 2025 football schedule. I think it's time to talk scheduling. And Andy, now with these new expanded conferences, more than ever, how these schedules fall, that's pretty important, isn't it?
Yeah, it's very important, right? Like one of the things I talked about for Penn State going into the 2024 season a year ago, when you looked at their schedule, the word I like to use was opportunity. I'm like, I believe this team has great opportunity. It showed some great promise, and it took advantage of that great opportunity and all the way to the college football playoff semifinal, which they also had that schedule opportunity when it came to the 12-team playoff. But you look at the schedule and you think, who has a little bit of an opportunity here and who's got heavy lifting to do and where does everybody fall on that scale? That's kind of how you look at it. You look at the top, you look at the bottom, and then you figure out, you know, where the roads collide sort of in the middle. But yeah, it's with, what is it, 18 teams, right? With 18 teams, it's there's a lot to digest on an 18-team schedule.
There is, and we did this also last year for the Southeast Conference, and we'll do it again here this year and try to highlight those discrepancies for the different teams. Now, before we get to the whole Big Ten schedule, let's take a look first, Andy, at Penn State's schedule, first of all. And it starts with a couple years ago when things were still two divisions, you knew Penn State had to play Michigan, Ohio State, Indiana, Rutgers, Maryland. You knew that. That goes away now, Michigan State, with the one big conference. Then the big variable was always the out-of-conference schedule. And that's the beginning of the schedule. Let's start with that for Penn State. And their absolute killer test of an out-of-conference schedule here, Andy, right?
It's embarrassing. That's all I can do. As you head into 2025, I think Penn State is starting to gain a reputation as a little bit of the all-in team. I'm not buying it yet. I get that they're all in. You know, the hiring of the defensive coordinator this past week, the guys that are all coming back, they have certain elements. There seems to be a little bit more money, quote unquote, available to them. And I don't see Nevada, FIU, and Villanova as your opening home game three sort of game salvo. As it doesn't hurt them. I don't think it hurts them. But it certainly doesn't do them any favors. It puts them more on neutral ground in terms of, you know, what they're playing. They are going, it's clear in 2025, what Penn State does in the Big Ten will matter significantly more than anything else. Because they literally, I mean, if there's a version of cupcake, that's pretty much it. You know, when people say, well, they have a cupcake non-conference schedule. Cue Penn State 2025. There you go.
It is embarrassing. It's awful. And Andy, I am not necessarily advocating for them taking on Georgia.
Right. No.
But the last couple of years, when they took on West Virginia and did a home and home with West Virginia, the year
Auburn,
home and home, they were at least a bit of a test for your team. So you could get a little bit of a feel for your team. And it's not like, okay, you're scheduling an automatic loss or one that you expect to be an underdog in. Now, I do admire the teams that schedule those kind of games. Now, give Ohio State credit. They've got Texas as
right out of the gate.
And that's going to be an incredible game. And I know we're in a new world because of the 12-team playoffs where you could lose a game. But for whoever wins that game, it's going to be, you know, a real feather in their cap. If you need a tiebreaker somewhere down the line in the playoffs, winning an out-of-conference game like that is pretty special. So back to Penn State. I'm with you. It's an embarrassing schedule. Now, let's dig into the Big Ten schedule once they start the season 3-0. And by the way, they start with three cupcakes, then get a bye before they play Oregon. And when I do strength of schedule for a conference, we did this last year, I think you got to designate who are the teams that are at the top of the conference. I typically pick out four teams that I say these are the elite, and they are the measuring stick for what kind of schedule you have. In my mind, it's Penn State, Ohio State, and Oregon are definitely in that group in the Big Ten.
Agree.
Is Michigan that fourth team? And maybe I'm a little bit carrying on about tradition, history, and I'm also thinking in terms of those last two games where they beat Ohio State and then Alabama in the bowl game. Does my top four match your top four teams?
It does not. We are matched up in Ohio State, Penn State, and Oregon, right? We are not matched up on the sort of the fence team in there. You went with Michigan. I went with Illinois, believe it or not. I 18 starters back, and the quarterback position is stable. And their offense, while not as electric, they have stability at the key positions, and they have a ton of starters back. Michigan had to win a game in a box. They are going to lose more of that high-end defensive talent. I think it'll be about the offense for Michigan. Can they get the quarterback position more stable? Because let's just be honest, if there was a bottom third quarterback position play, they might have been 16th, 17th, maybe even 18th last year in the Big Ten. The quarterback position was that bad. And so I have a ton of questions about Michigan stability, but I still think they're getting good players and good coaching.
Andy, I got to cut you short. We're out of time. We're going to pick it up there, right there in quarter number two. Every day is a great day to join us at Cafe 210 West to enjoy our daily drink specials. Mondays, it's the Cafe Tea Pitcher for $5. Tuesday, Smirnoff pitchers for $7. Wednesday, Bacardi pitchers are $7. And Thursdays, enjoy Cafe Tea pitchers for $5. All week, we have half-off draft beer and cafe tea from 9 to 11 p.m. and 6 to 8 p.m. on Fridays. So get the gang together and come on down to Cafe 210.
Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Hulk Daddy Hazy IPA, award-winning beer by Greater Good Brewing, built by Penn Staters for PA. Look for the green can at your local retailer.
Hello and welcome back to quarter number two of our show. He's Andy Shea. I'm Jim Galante. Andy got on a roll there at the end of quarter number one. I couldn't stop you in time. We ran over a bit there, Andy. That's okay.
Yeah, I lost the clock on you, Jimmy. That's my bad. Don't fire me. Keep our show together. As you cut back. I'm sorry, Jimmy. No, I lost 15 seconds. My bad.
As Andy approaches the yellow line. All right. Anyway, what we were doing, we're talking schedule. And I brought up when I do how tough is a team schedule, I put up the top four teams in the conference. How many games do you have against them? I typically then put in a second four, the second level, and how many games do you have against them. We'll get to that, but in putting out the top four, Penn State, Ohio State, Oregon, we agree on. I say Michigan as the fourth team. You say Illinois. If we look at Penn State's schedule, they have two of those teams. They have Oregon, at home, and then they have Ohio State on the road. So I think that's, considering they are one of the four teams, however you measure it, and they don't play my fourth team, Michigan, or your fourth team, Illinois.
Correct.
I'd call that a fair Big Ten conference schedule for Penn State.
Fair, and they get Oregon at home, which that should be the whiteout game, right, Jimmy? I mean, coming off a bye, you've got your Davison three-game opening salvo. You have a bye. Come back, you know what? Is it going to be late September? Whiteout. Just do it. Bring the big defending Big Ten champions to Happy Valley and give them a whiteout. That just makes sense based on the other home games. Why not?
It has to be, Andy.
It has to be.
And especially when you take a look at the it's also a rematch of the conference championship game from last year, which was a great game. Yeah, it makes sense. It's in September. Weather should be still conducive to wearing white. Of course, we all know this is going to come down to Fox Sports Noon.
Yeah,
Fox Noon game. But we're going to find out, and I'm sure we'll have this conversation during the summer. You know, how much pull does Pat Kraft have with the Big Ten Conference? How much it just makes way too much sense, which means they'll probably screw it up. But it's Oregon at home, Ohio State on the road. Obviously, those are the two big games, Andy. Is there any, what other game on the schedule is the best of the rest?
I think Iowa's a sticky game on the road. It's always tough to play at Kinnick Stadium. They have great hope in their transfer quarterback. Iowa will always be the same under, you know, Kirk freaking Ferentz. But if they can ever find some offensive firepower, like true firepower, you know, rooted in the quarterback position, they become even a more dangerous team. Even having to play them on the road, Penn State knows what the formula is to beat them there. It's up to Iowa to make it more difficult for Penn State. And then they have the juggernaut, right? They get a bye. It's Ohio State on the road and then Indiana at home back-to-back weeks. That's where the rubber meets the road for Penn State. No matter what happens in the Oregon game, it's, to me, the defining moment of the defining two games of this season will be those two games and where Penn State is and what Penn State's looking at, I think, comes in those back-to-back weeks. You know, it's like week 10 and week 11 of the season. That's when we'll know.
And, you know, Andy, Indiana was a great story this past season. I don't know if they could duplicate it. I think Indiana and their coach, Cignetti, they'll be up a level from what we thought of Indiana all those years. I'm not sure, though, this year's Indiana will catch lightning in a bottle the way they did last year, and especially having them at home.
I agree with you. I think it's unrealistic to expect them to duplicate that. However, they did convince their, at all three levels, their best player on defense at all three levels, they're coming back to Indiana, and the Kurt Cignetti guys. So I think he's got a base to build on defensively to be a difficult team to beat. Unrealistic to expect them to do what they did in 2024 again. Completely unrealistic. Don't expect it. But they have some serious parts to work with. And clearly they were coached very well in 2024. That's not going to change.
They were, Andy, and that's why I said I think they'll be good. I think it's more after Oregon as the first Big Ten game. It's the not back-to-back weeks because there's a bye in between, but that on the road at Iowa and then on the road to Columbus for Ohio State. those are the two games. But it also leads to, when you're talking schedule, if you're Penn State, again, no doubt, Oregon, Ohio State are the two huge games.
Yeah.
Does that, do those games get reduced in value a little bit when you see our national champions from this past season, Ohio State Buckeyes? They lost their two, what many would say, their two biggest games against Oregon and Michigan, and they're national champions. At this point, is it a bit about, you know what, get through the season with two losses or fewer and you're in the tournament?
It's about two things during your regular season. The opportunity to win a conference championship. That's what your first goal is, right? Like, give yourself that opportunity. Get to the conference championship, because there's benefits in the 12-team playoff that we already know come with that. And the second part goal would be just to get in, right? That's all you really need is a ticket. All you want is an entry and to be one of those 12 teams. That's it. You want to position yourself as good as best you can. Look at what Oregon did. They won the Big Ten championship, went undefeated, and got a bye. And then they had to play Ohio State. That's the way it's going to go sometimes, because teams change throughout the course of a season. They go through ups and downs, right? Ohio State clearly played its best football. Clearly, duh, they won the national championship. You're going to have matchups like those each and every year, Jimmy, because teams go through phases. But over the long haul, two big goals: opportunity to play and win a championship, and to give yourself the opportunity to receive one of those 12 bids is what you want to do. If you can't get into the championship and create that opportunity for yourself, have you done enough? Have you done enough to get one of those 12 bids? That's why your regular season matters. Only two teams out of 18 get to play for the conference championship. Are you one of the three, number three, number four, or number five, for example?
Yeah, and that is part of this, Andy. And, you know, I've heard that as the criticism of the 12-team playoff is it reduces the value of the regular season. If you may be able to take a handful of games and say, you know, here's Ohio State, Michigan, and by Michigan beating Ohio State, they knocked them out of the playoffs, so it means so much more. But I think by the end of the season, when Ohio State won the national championship, I don't think there's any way in the world you could doubt that they were the best team in the country. And by the old rules,
the best team in the country.
Yeah. By the old rules of the 4-team playoff, they would not have been in the tournament.
No, none of the teams that were in the semifinals, Jimmy, by the old rules, would have been in the 4-team college football playoff. Notre Dame, maybe.
Well, actually, if you go by the college football committee's rankings, Penn State was actually in the top four. They would have been in it. Notre Dame would have been just outside looking in, although there's an argument if it were only a 4-team tournament that Notre Dame might have made it in place of Penn State just because. So anyway, so again, circling back to the Penn State schedule itself, Andy, yes. I think it's a manageable schedule. The fact that they have byes prior to playing Oregon, prior to playing Ohio State, I think is helpful. The home schedule, you know, we mentioned the out-of-conference cupcakes. Then it's Oregon, Northwestern, Indiana, and Nebraska. It's not a great home schedule. Oregon is the big one. I guess after that, maybe Indiana next. So end up with an Indiana whiteout game?
You could. Here's what I'll say about Penn State's 2025 schedule. And when we looked at the Big Ten overall, you've got your top tier, and then you've got your first, you know, we disagreed on Illinois or Michigan. But then you've got your second tier, right? Like, okay, go down to the top eight teams and see how many of those you play, right? Just, you know, and my rankings, I have Penn State playing five of them, right? That's five conference teams of the top eight. That's a little less opportunity in 2024. I've got Oregon, Iowa, Ohio State, Indiana, and Nebraska. Those five teams I have inside, you know, my sort of like, these are one of the top eight teams. I have five of those are on Penn State schedule. That's different than 2024. So they've got a little more meat on the bone when it comes to the conference schedule. There's also greater opportunity in that, in a Q value, if it plays out that way, that they're playing one of the better schedules in the conference.
And we're going to, in quarter number four, we'll take a look at the rest of the Big Ten and who has, you know, the toughest path to get there. Now, last year, Ohio State, even though Michigan was down a bit, they had Michigan, Oregon, and Penn State. Of the Big Four, they were the only ones who played the other three. There's nobody in that top group now who has that kind of schedule. But there's a couple teams, Andy, that have, I'm not going to call it a cupcake Big Ten schedule, but a favorable schedule where there's some opportunities. Andy, we're going to take care of that when we get back for quarter four. But first, we've got quarter three. Andy rubbing his hands together, looking forward to it. We have Ask Andy coming up and your questions right after this break. Every day is a great day to join us at Cafe 210 West to enjoy our daily drink specials. Mondays, it's the Cafe Tea Pitcher for $5. Tuesday, Smirnoff Pitchers for $7. Wednesday, Bacardi Pitchers are $7. And Thursdays, Enjoy Cafe Tea Pitchers for $5. All week, we have half-off draft beer and cafe tea from 9 to 11 p.m. and 6 to 8 p.m. on Fridays. So get the gang together and come on down to Cafe 210.
Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Halt Daddy Hazy IPA, award-winning beer by Greater Good Brewing, built by Penn Staters for PA. Look for the green can at your local retailer.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number three. That means it's time for your questions. It's time for us to ask Andy. This is where we take your questions for Andy. And if you want to send Andy a question, just download our app, Keystone Sports. You'll see the Ask Andy button and away you go. All right, Andy, you're all ready?
Fired up. Love offseason. Love offseason questions. I've said that before last week, now that we're officially into it. Let's roll.
All right, let's see if you like this group. We're going to start with John from Kingston, who says, should NFL running backs have to pay Saquon Barkley a small percentage of future contracts?
That's like, did all golfers have to pay Tiger Woods after what he did in the 2000s, right? Like,
exactly.
So that's an it. Barkley, just, he's got help up front. Let's just say that right away. But man, does he know how to use it? I still don't think, like, I think he's just seen as an outlier in the NFL when it comes to salary structure. I really do. He might bump it a million on the you know, franchise tag number, because that number has gone down. Maybe he moves the needle a little bit, but I think generally across the board, I don't think the NFL is going to evaluate and see the running back much different than it did in 2024 before this season, despite what Saquon's doing. He's a generational talent. He was always a generational talent. Back, he had his first collegiate offer, remember, when he was playing JV football as a running back. Remember that. Don't forget. So that goes all the way back to high school. He was a high school generational talent. He was a generational talent as a running back at Penn State. And he's now evolved into that generational talent at the NFL level. He's not a one-year wonder, by the way. Don't think he is anybody that's a doubter.
Andy, you know, I look at it a little different, or frame it a little differently. I don't think any, you know, current NFL running backs, they kind of are what they are. But I think it might change how teams look at, is there another generational running back? It started a little bit in the draft the last year or two, where a couple running backs were coming off the board earlier than expected. A little earlier,
yes.
And I think we might see that. So that trend maybe even started a little bit before this year with Saquon. And will it trend forward like a guy like Ashton Jeanty? Will he get perceived differently because of how, partially because of how Saquon played? And will teams be looking for that kind of special running back? Go ahead.
To answer John's question, good question, John from Kingston. Good one. If it will be not about this season and culminating in the Super Bowl in a couple weeks, but it'll be about how the running backs, and particularly Saquon, validate in the 2025 season. That will be the one that might shift the landscape a little bit more. The position will need to validate.
But I'll tell you what, one of his big games in the Super Bowl that leads the Eagles to a championship, yeah, that will help the cause. All right, let's go to Casey in Sarasota. Down south where it's a whole lot warmer than here. Casey says, is all in where we want to be? Have we lost our soul and forgotten about success with honor?
No. A good point, Casey in Sarasota. Hope everything's safe after all the hurricanes this year. Our family has some ties to the Sarasota area, so know what happened to you guys earlier this year. No. They are – James has done – something that I think is difficult and magical at the same time. He has understood where this program came from when he took it over, and understood the history behind it, and understood what the traditions were that mattered to the university and the fan base. And he's kind of kept that in place, while at the same time, slowly but surely, navigating this new minefield, per se, in this wild, wild west of, NIL and conference expansion and all of that, and understood what it takes to get there and what the path forward might look like. Penn State scratched the surface this year as an next-tier elite program. Now he's got an opportunity to validate, and he's done all of that. I think you're a Penn State fan and understand what that means. I don't think the success with honor type thing has become something that shifted to the background and got lost. I really honestly don't. I can't see it.
Andy, I agree with you. I understand where Casey is coming from. There's this idea that, you know, spending money, when we see teams over the last couple of years, like you saw Texas A&M, for example, go all in on, you know, putting the money out. They were recruiting mercenaries. And I don't think playing in the deep water like they obviously are, I think Penn State's style of handling the NIL is, it's not so much about bringing in people from outside. It's about retaining the guys we have. That's why you see very few Penn Staters hitting the portal. Not only a handful of guys coming in through the portal. And it's no longer saying that, you know, we're going to provide the dollars for Drew Aller, Nick Singleton, Deny Dennis Sutton to return. I don't think that's less than honorable anymore. So I understand Casey's point, but I agree with you, Andy. This is not them ditching the success with honor. I don't think it's them losing their soul. All right, let's go to Alan in Newtown Square, who says, so Andy, how much difference can a defensive coordinator make?
Wow. Way to bottom line me, Alan. well, you know, when Penn State needed a stop, right, to hold on to the lead against Notre Dame, they didn't get it. They had a two-score lead, right? How much difference does a defensive coordinator make? That's the bottom line and the fine line, right? Do I think Tom Allen did a good job? Yes. I think Tom Allen did a pretty good job coordinating this defense. I'm not sure his move to Clemson was not a mutually exclusive sort of agreement. I think he wanted to go, and I think James was okay with him walking out the door. But that's it's that fine line of the next level. That's what you're looking for. Penn State created opportunity for itself in game to play for the national championship. And at the end of the day, their defense in the fourth quarter wasn't good enough to hold on to the lead that the offense gets. Does the offense have culpability? Yeah, they do. They absolutely do in that. But the fine line, and I'm going deep here, and I'm not laying this at the foot of the defense because they were freaking outstanding this season again. That's the fine line. They could not hold the two-score lead over, you know, a 26-minute window, 25-minute window. Is the next level defensive coordinator that's what you're looking for?
And Andy, I'll also point out the Ohio State game where it's easy to point out the offense getting inside the 5-yard line and not able to score. But remember, when Penn State turned the ball over to Ohio State ran the ball, 8, 9, 10 times in a row?
Yeah.
Ran out the clock against that defense when everybody knew they were going to run the ball.
That's a little different because they also scored the only touchdown of the game for Penn State, the defense. So they had done the heavy lifting. In the Notre Dame game, I didn't see as much heavy lifting being done by the defense. And they never had a lead against Ohio State. They had a two-score lead against Notre Dame.
All right, let's move on. Let's get to Bill in Johnstown, who says, both James Franklin and Drew Aller seem to struggle in big games. Any common threads and any cause for optimism it will change?
So I think the narrative can start to shift a little with the coach on that. I know they didn't beat Notre Dame, and it was a big game. I saw that as possibly, in my eyes, the best coaching performance of James Franklin's career, game management. I think that was his absolute best. It was not the best from his quarterback. And you kind of needed all of your best to beat Notre Dame. They made themselves difficult to beat. They didn't play as good against Ohio State because Ohio State's playing well. But in the end, they fought and made themselves a little more difficult to beat. I think the quarterback, it's the next level, right? Like we went from year one to year two, right? He made a lot of progress in year two. You had those bad games. You had those big games. It was a first-year quarterback kind of deer in headlights in year one. It was a little more of a glaring problem in year two. That is how he needs to figure out how to be the same quarterback against Rutgers that he is in those big games. He needs to be the same quarterback he was against Oregon in the Big Ten Championship in a loss. He played fantastic. You can lose a football game and say, you know what? They lost the Big Ten Championship, and their offense played freaking fantastic. You can do that. He did not play anything close to his best against Notre Dame or against Ohio State. That's got to change for him. He's got to figure out what that next level looks like for him as a quarterback. That's the greater onus on me. This will be more about the performance of the guys in between the lines than the guy outside the lines.
And Andy, I think if you were looking for a sign, James Franklin has improved in his coaching. He's not losing those games that he's supposed to win. Drew Aller, we saw improvement from year one to year two as a starter also. So if you're looking for an indicator, Bill, I think that's where you can look at as an indicator. there have been improvements by these guys. So to think that they can't make the next step, I think, is unfair. That's it for Ask Andy in quarter three. More to go. Stick with us.
Every day is a great day to join us at Cafe 210 West to enjoy our daily drink specials. Mondays, it's the Cafe Tea Pitcher for $5. Tuesday, Smirnoff Pitchers for $7. Wednesday, Bacardi Pitchers are $7. And Thursdays, enjoy Cafe Tea Pitchers for $5. All week, we have half-off draft beer and cafe tea from 9 to 11 p.m. and 6 to 8 p.m. on Fridays. So get the gang together and come on down to Cafe 210.
Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Hall Daddy Hazy IPA, award-winning beer by Greater Good Brewing, built by Penn Staters for PA. Look for the green can at your local retailer.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number four. He's Andy, I'm Jim. And Andy, you know, it's a tradition with the Jim and Andy show. I got to start quarter four out commenting about the last question in Ask Andy and segment number three. The question was about Drew Aller, James Franklin being able to perform in big games. And is there anything that we could hang our hat on to think that it could change? I think the fact that I think James Franklin has matured as a head coach. I think he stopped losing games that he's not supposed to. I'm thinking Michigan State and Minnesota and Pitt. That hasn't happened over the last couple of years. Drew Aller has shown his ability to improve. The other thing I will mention, Andy, is there is a history of coaches who can't win the big game until they do. And if you look back, fairly recent history, that was the criticism. Dabo Sweeney couldn't get over the top. Remember Jim Harbaugh couldn't get over the top.
Ryan Day
could not get over the top. And for our friends who are from the Philadelphia area, college basketball, Jay Wright, Villanova Hoops, could not win in the tournament. Remember? Until he did. That's, I think, how we have to look at it with James Franklin also. All right, Andy, I said when we started the show, this was going to be about the schedule. We looked at Penn State's schedule specifically. Let's take a bigger look at the Big Ten and their schedule. And the way I try to quantify schedules is go into a conference, identify the best teams, and say, how many games do you have against those best teams? And you and I typically go with four teams. You and I agreed on in the Big Ten, the big three of Penn State, Ohio State, and Oregon. Who was that fourth team? I suggested Michigan. You suggested Illinois. I'll tell you what, Andy, let's just go forward with five teams instead of four and take a look at the rest of the schedules of the other teams. And you got to start with those top teams like Oregon, like Michigan, like Ohio State, and see who they play against. A year ago, Ohio State, credit to them, they had all three of the other top four. They had Michigan, they had Penn State, they had Oregon. Not the case for them this year. Ohio State, of course, they get Michigan. They also get Penn State. And they play Texas out of conference. You got to say
Illinois. They get Illinois.
Well, that's right. I'm sorry. And they get Illinois. So I got to add that one in there for them also, Andy. So that and they're playing Illinois on the road too. So you got to look at Ohio State again. I said it before last year. If they win it all, they've earned it.
They will do it again this year. They have not been granted a soft Big Ten schedule yet in the first few years. They've had plenty of meat on the bone, and they have it again. At Oregon, right? At Penn State, Michigan at home. I would argue that they have one more this year. Penn State at home, right? Michigan on the road. Now they got to play Illinois on the road. They're playing Texas, a blue blood. A college football playoff team, a Final Four team, opening the season at home, big game. They've got plenty of meat on the bone. They'll have a resume worthy.
They do, no doubt about it. How about Oregon? Oregon, Andy, they get Penn State.
On the road.
On the road. That's a tough one.
That's it.
But after that, who do they got?
That's it. I mean, if you're talking about, you know, we're going to go five teams and we're going to put five teams in there. I mean, I think they got a couple sticky games, but it's, you know, they have in their non-conference schedule, they've got Oklahoma State. All right. There's a little, it's like, you know, it's like the Auburn, West Virginia for Penn State, which Penn State doesn't have this year. Decent game, right? Oklahoma State. Get some ready, right? They have to go on the road to Penn State in week five. Penn State's coming off a bye. That's it. After that, they go to a bye, and then they got some decent football teams that they're going to play, but that's it for the top five, Jimmy, at Penn State. That's their bullseye game.
And by the way, they have Oklahoma State is at home. They have a rivalry game with Oregon State, also at home. They have Indiana at home. So I think Iowa on the road is the only other is the next biggest test for them. So again, this is an example where if Oregon can just make sure they hold serve, beat the teams they're supposed to, even a loss at Penn State could end up with an 11-1 season from them. The other team, Michigan, who I've placed in that upper echelon, Michigan, they have, of course, final game of the year, Ohio State. They have out of conference at Oklahoma. Oklahoma was really down last year. Could that be a sneaky test for them, Andy?
It could be. I mean, they've got – it'll be more about Michigan than where Oklahoma's at because Michigan has some serious work to do on offense, and they've got some question marks on how they're going to keep this defense relevant because despite their record last year, I still argue they had one of the top 5 to 10 defenses in the country. They were a championship worthy defense beginning to end. They were just literally a train wreck and a nightmare offensively. They just couldn't score any points. They have a favorable opportunity schedule, Jimmy, at Ohio State, the end of the year. Okay. The Oklahoma game, non-conference, they play what the bottom three, right? Like Purdue, Northwestern, and Maryland. They got all three of them.
Actually, Michigan has Ohio State at home.
Right, right. They play Ohio State, right?
But that's at home. But you're right. They have a real soft schedule where they play Michigan State, Purdue, Northwestern, Maryland all in a row. And it really is another one of those schedules, Andy. If Michigan, if they have turned a corner, are back where they were, it's a very favorable schedule for them. Again, this could be a 10 or 11 win team without being a great team.
I see Michigan's 2025 schedule as the opportunity that Penn State's 2024 schedule presented them. I see they're very similar, right? Like they have some kind of sticky games. They play USC in there, but remember Penn State only played in 2024, one of the top four, right? Like the general considered top four. They didn't play Michigan. And they didn't play Oregon. So I see Michigan's opportunity, despite what they have to do with their program, there is an opportunity schedule-wise. It'll be more about them than who they play. And that was what Penn State's 2024 schedule was.
Andy, you mentioned you like Illinois to be part of that upper echelon group. Taking a look at their schedule, that's kind of favorable also as far as playing. They play Ohio State from that, the Big Four, or the Big Five
at home,
at home. Yes. But even if you sacrifice that game or call that one a loss, there's a couple interesting games, especially early on. They've back-to-back weeks at Indiana, then home with USC. But other than that, Illinois could be that Indiana of this season, Andy.
I think you will know by week six, you will know whether Indiana's a top tier team or not. They've got Duke on the road. I mean, Illinois, excuse me. Yeah. Illinois. I'm sorry. They've got Duke in the on the road in week two. Solid non-conference, right? After Western Michigan in week three at home, you've got, like you said, Indiana, SC. Those three games, are they, you know, that opening five-game set, are they 4-1 or 5-0? Who did they lose to? What did it look like? 3-2 means they're out, right? Like, you could kind of say they still have to play Ohio State. They need to play their best football out of the gate and stamp themselves as eligible to be part of the top five. They have every opportunity. They got so many guys coming back. The quarterback position stable, but they've got to perform. And they're going to be tested.
If you're an Illinois fan, Andy, you can look at those first six games. Out of conference, Duke is the only test. First Big Ten game is at Indiana. A little bit of a test there. Home to USC, then Purdue. If you're an Illinois fan, and then you host Ohio State, you could be 6-0 going into that Ohio State game.
You could be. And then you have stamped yourself as a top 10 team in the country because they'll be highly ranked preseason and rated, but you get there and then you're one of the four going into Ohio State if they're 6-0 for sure, Jimmy, 100%.
Well, let's look at last year's Indiana. This year, they have Andy, Illinois. You're one of the top teams that you have. Then they have on the road Iowa, on the road Oregon, on the road Penn State. This is not that opportunity schedule that Indiana had last year, is it?
Yeah, what they play, like 8 of the 9 bottom teams in the Big Ten last year, a year ago, or yes, something like that. They played the lower half of what it turned out to be the Big Ten teams competitively. That will not be the case this year. They will get more of a legitimate full metal jacket test, and it will come early. It just won't be, you know, I forget which week it was, week 10 or something, where or 9 or 10, where they're playing Ohio State. Well, now we get to find out about Indiana. First one was Nebraska. You know, that's why I'm kind of, you know, a little bearish on Nebraska, because I'm like, man, they got gobsmacked a couple times. But yeah, I think you're going to know about Indiana well before week 8 or 9, and you just won't be able to, you know, sort of write it off as, well, they had a favorable schedule. You'll know.
Any other schedule stick out to you, Andy?
Yeah, last one real quick, Wisconsin. Absolutely brutal. A 4-week window where they play at Michigan. At Michigan, Iowa at home, Ohio State at home, Oregon on the road. Boom. A middle of the road, sort of meandering team. That's a gauntlet. That's the one that grabbed me.
The one I'll put out real quick is Rutgers, who a year ago played none of the big teams. They now play 3 or 4 if you count Illinois.
Right.
Things can really change. All right, Andy, that's the last word for today's show. Thank you all for listening. Make sure you join us next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show.
Every day is a great day to join us at Cafe 210 West to enjoy our daily drink specials. Mondays, it's the Cafe Tea Pitcher for $5. Tuesday, Smirnoff Pitchers for $7. Wednesday, Bacardi Pitchers are $7. And Thursdays, enjoy Cafe Tea Pitchers for $5. All week, we have half-off draft beer and cafe tea from 9 to 11 p.m. and 6 to 8 p.m. on Fridays. So get the gang together and come on down to Cafe 210.